There's really something very juvenile, delinquent, and considering that this world is okay in your estimation, and that there doesn't really seem to be any need for help. The law paints a picture of God's will. One must be done, the other helps you to do it, or should. About Dawkins, Darwin, and the rest. I work for a company that saves human beings. They seem to work for those that damages eyesight. The sole purpose of our sojourn on earth is a quest to find who we really love. God will test you on this. The devil will tempt you for this. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness only really to find out who and what he really loved. Once you've settled this, you almost break down the reason for your days. Tithes cannot be spoken of in the same breath as offerings, or New Testamentally. One was from an old stringent stipulation stance, and the other is from a dispensation of grace and plea. One is a law that must be fulfilled, the other is a plea to the intelligent with their income. One is mandatory, the other one is a demonstration of your reciprocated love of her. The sower sowed the word, the people are the seeds that will need the word to constantly fertilize them. Jesus said, "I have food to eat that you know nothing of." He was referring to the tree of life, that is the gift of the Spirit from the fruits of the Spirit hanging on them. The reason for the gift of the Spirit is to manufacture fruits of the Spirit in men. And I will pour out my Spirit on the land. The barren land will become fertile. The fertile land will become a forest. The forest will produce peace in the land. And you all know that peace is actually a fruit of the Spirit. Demons are only ideas, concepts, philosophies aimed at confusing, frustrating, and destroying men. Nothing in all of creation must be able to separate you from the love of God. This is why all the principalities and powers and wicked rulers of this wicked world were nailed to the cross of Christ. In the truest of form of suicide bombing imaginable, Jesus was bruised for our iniquities, he was wounded for our transgression, he was chastised for our peace to come, and by his stripes we were made well. Jesus literally exploded with all these principalities and expired powers and dominions and demons and wicked rulers on his way out to set you free. Don't remain bound. We are therefore now no more overcomers, or we're not just overcomers of evil, but we've overcome all evil with good. From every pestilence and every daily plague, from the arrows that fly in midday and the plagues that move in the midnight, from the very things that make prisoners of the whole world, concepts and ideas, anything everybody does generally. He was made the head of all powers and principalities and rulers of this world for the church, the fullness of him that fills everything in every way. He delivered us from the hand of those that ruled the powers of the air. The weapons of our warfare, they say, are not carnal. They are not tangible, obvious, or manifest, but mighty in God in pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every pretension and anything that wants to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ. So knowledge are principalities. Jesus Christ's main enemies were ideas, philosophies, and wicked rules and rulers. These are the main demons we should be conversant with or worried about. Our prayer meetings should thus constantly concentrate on bringing down evil ideas, wrong philosophies, strange pretensions, and things, wicked things that rule the mindsets of men. If we do not do this, we do not understand that our enemies are not flesh and blood, but things that get people doing things that they are not really supposed to be doing, thinking things that they shouldn't really be thinking. Rulers that have people helplessly devoted to sin, ideas and ideals that have become philosophies of this world, then our enemies are defined and then our battle lines are drawn. There are captives Jesus has led on a train, the gifts collected and redistributed righteously. This is why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God's rule. You cannot write a rule for grace. This is now the problem of the two sons God has, the Jews and the Christians. We want the blessing of Abraham. I'm not sure the Jews understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The intelligence or the spiritual intelligence is to find out that the blessing of Abraham is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. That will call for some smartness. We abuse the law of tithes, even though what we have is the concept of offering. We cannot make anything mandatory once we have chosen to be saved by grace, even though nobody can deny the fitness associated to the stringent regime given by tithing is. No one can defy the cleverness of abstaining from pork. The programming language of the firstborn cannot be adopted by very design to work for the second son. If we want to apply the true meaning of source codes or definition of origins, because grace has provided the opportunity for many more sinners than the law allowed, grace actually manufactured gaze so that he can reach out and save them. It's never too late until you leave this place. You cannot write a rule for grace. Jesus did not sin because he had settled very early whom he really loved. The blessing of Abraham was a promise of a spirit that puts God's true laws and requirements into our hearts and therefore terminates the need for tablets. Jesus was made a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles also. Same thing. It is very juvenile to reason that goodness can be attained by self. It's a suggestion that your oversimplification of the flaws of mankind to reckon it's a suggestion that your oversimplification of the flaws of mankind is to reckon justification can be self-attained. A sign to God of your rebellion and also a revolt to the offer of help. Tithes and other regulations of the laws are actually promptings to an even more significant requirement of God for mankind. Without the discernment of this, the means will almost always become the end. This is why the law has never really made anyone perfect or anything perfect, because perfection cannot be attained by observing what you don't really understand. Amen.